Well, good morning and welcome to our service. We're going to start with a song of worship to get straight in. So if you want to join with us, we're going to stand and sing Come People of the Risen King. Let's come join together. Let's pray together. Father God, we just want to thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to meet together, to meet as the family of the Baptist Church gathered here in Oney. But Lord, way more significantly, the chance to meet with you. And Lord, we thank you for that privilege and pray that our hearts and minds will be open to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. So welcome, have a seat if you haven't. Welcome to our all-age service for this morning, Sunday, September the 4th. When I'm leading the service, I like to kind of just bring some significant things that happened on this day in history. And I've got to tell you, September the 4th is not a classic. You know, you're going through the birthdays, deaths, significant anniversaries, but here's your Sunday lunch fact. On this day, in the year 925, King Athelstan became the first king of a united England. Now you can dazzle whoever you've got coming for lunch with you on Sunday with that particular piece of history. And to be honest, that's about how as good as it gets for September the 4th, except for one significant thing that is coming up in a moment. It is an all-age service, so a slightly lighter feel to what we're doing. I hope that you got the notice sheet either by email, or if you didn't, then by all means, please do pick one up either here or here, and it will tell you all that's going on in the church during the course of the week.
Well, this is turning into quite a morning. We have celebrated two birthdays of a significant number, which we will not state, but as has been indicated, they will tell you maybe if they want to after the service is finished. But we also want to mark another moment in the life of a much loved and highly respected member of our congregation, and someone who has served faithfully in leadership for many, many years in the post of elder, and that is our dear friend Martin. I'm going to ask Martin to come out to the front. I have had quite a few elders over the years, as you could imagine, but I've never ever had one like Martin, that is for sure. He's heading for the exit. And I say that with great sincerity. It's been a real joy to get to know Martin. He is a man of many gifts and talents. You know all about that far more than I do. But it's been a real pleasure to share with him. And he has brought his warmth, wit and wisdom to our leaders' meetings. And we are greatly going to miss that. But before you say anything, I sent Joe a sneaky WhatsApp message last week. And I said, what could we give Martin as a little sort of thank you gift, token, memento? And I got this the most amazing response back, which actually says a lot about Martin. And Jill said to me, I think Martin would like a new Bible because the one he's got is worn out. And I thought, wonderful, you know? So you've got a new Bible coming to you just in time for house group, okay? So there we go. So here it is, Martin. We give it to you with our love, our thanks, and our sincere gratitude. It's a solid one for the many years of faithful service. And if you want to speak, this is your chance to do it now, okay?
Thank you. I hope this will not be the concluding episode, but we'll see at Christmas. Keep your eyes on this space. I have to say, just in case people don't know, and they're looking at me and they say, what's wrong with him? Apart from the obvious? No tasting shirts? What's he wearing sandals for? It's going to rain today. All those sort of things that are fizzing through your mind as we speak now. Most of the problems, I suppose they have been most of my life, are not to be seen outwardly. It's things going on inwardly. And I have to say that I was really worried when I had to go to Oxford for an operation because they wanted to look at my pituitary gland. Well, for a start, I didn't know what it was. But when they told me it was a little thing the shape and size of a peanut lodged in the gap, inside my brain, I thought, hang on a minute, for quite a number of years people have said to me, pea brain, will they be able to tell which is which? Which is the one they'll be attacking? But fortunately, they got the right one. And we're now just waiting for things to gradually ease. So hopefully you won't find me flat on my face on the high street, although it is one of the most possible things that could happen because my balance isn't all it should be. But apart from that, everything else is going on inside. So I'll wear something, you know, today, please, etc. Thank you.
Before you go, let's pray for you. I'll put this off.
Here we go. Put that down there. Let's just pray for it, Martin. Father, we thank you for our brother who we love and, Lord, just respect so highly. We thank you for him and for the many years of godly and faithful service he has given in the many ways that he has. We thank you, Lord, for his passion and energy for life, his love for you and for your word and for the work of your kingdom in this place. And we pray, Lord, this morning that you would give him strength, Lord, for the next exciting chapter of his life, whatever that might look like for him. Guide him and direct him, we pray. And for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Martin,
thank you.
On you go.
Well, this is our first chance to get to gather after sort of July and August, which I think for many of us have a different sort of pace of life and a different feel. I know some of us go on holiday in September for all the obvious reasons, but July and August, often different things are happening. So I want you to turn to the person you either came with or someone that's near to you and just think, what's been the highlight of your sort of summer holidays, whether you were actually on holiday or not? What have you really enjoyed or appreciated? Turn and just have a word with your next door neighbour. Great. I'm going to ask you just to pause us under that one. I was going to ask for some highlights, but actually I might save that for a little bit later on. But actually, I can just tell by the excited faces that I was looking at and the chat that was going on that there have been so many good things and things to be thankful for that have happened over the summer. So hold on to those thoughts because we might want them a little bit later on. Now, around just downstairs at the moment, there are four little sheets of paper that are just tucked underneath a row. And if you are looking at one, they should be fairly obvious. If you could now, this is your moment, if you could either A, preferably bring it forward, or B, look around for someone who's looking a little sort of unsurprised and ask them to bring it forward, because I'd love to see our four sheets of paper. They've got dates on them. So come on down if you've got one. Can you see one? Oh, well then, Thomas, you've spotted one. Come and bring that one up. Anyone else got one? Doesn't matter who brings them up. That's fine. Hold on to it. You're going to need it. Or you're going to hold it because I can't hold four bits of paper at the same time. Oh, well done, Sue, Kareem. Brilliant. Good. Now then, just lovely. All I want you to do, doesn't matter which order you're in, but I want you to stand up and hold the date clearly to the people that are out there. And we're going to see if we've got any geniuses. I think University Challenge is back quite soon. If we look at these four dates, can anyone think they can spot any sort of connection? Actually, only Connect has started, hasn't it? What is the connection between any of these four dates? Sue thinks she's got it. Anyone else thinking that they're going to have a go? Sue, what do you think you've got? Okay, well that's, yeah, we're not a million miles off, but we're on the right sort of lines. Tommy? Yeah, we're in the right sort of area again, that's pretty good. Chris, for you. That's why we have former head teachers at church, there we go. For those who couldn't quite hear what Christine said, it's about New Year's. We've got, I won't start with you. Who's got January the 1st? That's the most obvious one, isn't it? We celebrate New Year, January the 1st, New Year's Day, Happy New Year. We all know that one. On the other side of things, and this is one I didn't know because I had to look it up, but it changes every year. Well done, Thomas. Chinese New Year, different date each year, and that's what it was, 22 and in 2023. April the 6th, I was thinking your hand would probably shoot over that one, our treasurer here. Yeah, the financial year. start of the new tax year. If we were a church full of accountants, hands would have been up in record time, they're recognising that one. But for many of us, the first week of September is actually, in a sense, feels like the start of a new year. The new school year, the academic year, begins in that way. And we're going to be thinking about a little bit of that. So let me reclaim those. Thank you very much. You can head back to your places. That the beginning of the school year at September is a big change. It's a sort of new beginning, a new adventure, many people going into a new school year. And for some, even a bigger step, the beginning of starting school or changing school. And we even have some people here this morning who are doing that. So, go back there. Let's pray together. Father God, we just want to say thank you for new challenges and new beginnings. And Lord, we pray for all those that are going back to school in the next week or so, for those that are starting new school years with new teachers. Lord, for those that are changing school, or as for Joshua and for Chloe, Lord, starting school. We pray you'll be with them and with the teachers and all the others that work in that school environment. Lord, we ask that they would know your peace and your presence, and it would be a good start to this year ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to be thinking a little bit more about new challenges, new adventures that can be lie on the horizon for all of us. But we're going to have a time of worship first, which I think Michael's going to lead. We've got, and I put some up there, some little shakers and instruments. There are some down here. So if you think the music would be enhanced with a tambourine or a shaker or something like that, feel free to come and grab something. Or Anna, you might just want to take or get someone to go and deliver over there if we want. But we'll stand and sing together.
Our next song is I Walk By Faith, which I think might be known to some of you, might be new for some of you. We're going to do it through a few times, so if you know it, sing along. If you don't, feel free to listen and then join in as you pick it up. It's fairly simple, so hopefully you'll be able to pick it up. So it starts with I Walk By Faith. Amen. Take a seat.
Wonderful. Take a seat. You couldn't see downstairs, but there were some great moves going up on the balcony. I feel that's obviously the place to be. Wonderful. Well, as I mentioned this morning, we're thinking a little bit about new adventures, new opportunities. We're just going to have a little video that shows a new opportunity, a new adventure that was opening up for some of the disciples.
On another day, Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and lots of people crowded around him to hear what he had to say.
Hello. Okay.
Jesus noticed two empty boats, for Andrew and Peter had left them and were washing their nets. Jesus stepped into one of the boats.
Hey, Peter.
And asked Peter to take him out into the sea.
Aye, aye.
So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Peter, "Now go out where it is deeper, and let down your nets to catch some fish." But Peter said, "We worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear.
Whoa!
They called to some other fishermen for help.
Hey, help!
And soon both boats were filled with fish. When Peter realized what happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." Jesus replied to Peter, "Don't be afraid. Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people."
Really?
Really?
And as soon as they landed, they left their nets and followed Jesus. So Simon Peter became one of Jesus' 12 disciples and followed his friend Jesus throughout his time on earth.
I do love those videos. They are so good. We're going to sing again in a moment, and while we do that, if the children want to go, we've got a little activity set up just outside, which Jenny's going to lead, so the children go out there. We're not running a creche, I don't know if anyone needs it this morning, but if you need the creche, then just feel free to go and make use of those facilities. But we're going to sing again while the children pop out for a few minutes, and then Sue will bring our Bible reading to us.
Now, the first reading is from Matthew 4, verses 18 to 20, the calling of the first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And then Matthew 9, verse 9, the calling of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him.
Let's just pray. Father God, just want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for those stories of the calling of the first disciples. And we ask you to be with us as we spend a few moments reflecting on those verses and what they might be saying to us. Amen. I deliberately shortened or chose different versions of, in a sense, possibly the same passage there. Obviously, the one story with the fish and the miraculous catch is fabulous, and the children are doing a little activity based around that outside at the moment. But for ourselves, I thought I'd just rather focus in on that sense of the call of Jesus, follow me, and the response of those first disciples, the four that we saw on the lake, and then Matthew at the tax collector's booth. And I've simply got two questions for us this morning. What were the disciples leaving behind, and what were the disciples getting themselves into? And my first question, what were the disciples leaving behind, I'm hoping is not going to be rhetorical. I'm hoping you might be able to help me out a little bit here. If you're visiting us here, don't worry. I'm not going to be picking on you, pointing fingers like the teacher, knowing which person they want to answer in class. But I wonder if we've got some thoughts for ourselves, those perhaps who know a little bit about the story. The four fishermen, or Matthew the tax collector, Jesus says, "Follow me," and they leave and follow him. What are they leaving behind? Anybody got any thoughts on some of those things? Lynn, great start.
Family,
absolutely. They're going to be leaving their families behind. Potentially, we don't quite know what it's going to look like. But yes, leaving family behind. That's going to be a tough or a big challenge for them. Number one, in my head I've got a list. I haven't got the right answers on a PowerPoint, I'm afraid. So if you don't help me out, we could be here for a while. Family were leaving behind. Their job, absolutely. Yeah, that's what they know how to do. Their careers, if you like, their employment. They're working as fishermen, working as a tax collector. They're leaving family behind. They're leaving their employment behind. Maybe a few other things on that. I just saw a hand over here first. Joe.
Security,
absolutely. Yeah, all those things that in a sense they've known or experienced, they might be leaving those behind, just the familiarity of where they are and who they know. We might dig a little bit more into that. I saw a hand going up over here, which might... Oh, yes, Sue.
And their home.
Their home, yeah, their house, the place where they've stayed and lived. Absolutely, giving up on their home. Tommy?
Their
yeah, absolutely. We talked about family, but actually maybe their friends as well. We know the four of them may be going together in a little bit, but there are other friends that are around them that they will have known that they will be giving up as well. So leaving their friends behind, leaving their family behind, leaving their home behind, leaving their security behind, leaving all that sort of familiarity behind. Anyone got anything more? I think we're doing pretty well. Yes, Angela. Well done. Income. Jobs that generate the income. and the income that probably for those people would have put food on the plates of their families, the people that they are providing for. Maybe in the sense of the fishermen, it's actually putting the fish on the plates of the family to feed them. But yes, actually what we don't know is that who's dependent upon those people, but generally we know in that culture that it is the working men that would be the providers for the family, and therefore it's leaving behind maybe some sort of responsibilities that may be lying there, some thoughts around there. I don't want to, you're doing really well, in fact you're doing better than I'd done, so anybody else got anything else they want to share with us on, around that? No? Okay. I think that's a fairly major list of things of what are they leaving behind. If we thought of ourselves, what are the things that we value that we think are important? I think we'd probably list most of those things that we've mentioned. Those are our securities, the things in which we put our trust. I'm leaving sort of faith out of it for the moment, and our trust in God. But other than that, those are the things that, you know, like the building blocks of our lives. And yet at that moment, Jesus said, follow me, and they did. I've been delighted to let you know that I've saved you a little bit of work, because my second question this morning was, having looked at what they've left behind, what are they getting themselves into? I said I hadn't got a sort of sheet, but for the what they're getting themselves into, I prepared one earlier on, so just bear with me. Ooh. Here we go. Ah. One of my favourite TV programmes, I hope I'm not alone in this one, is Blackadder. If you know Blackadder, there's a wonderful episode of Blackadder where Blackadder is, I can't remember if he's hiding or trying to get away from some trouble or scrape he'd got himself into, and he's going off in a ship to explore the new world, the undiscovered world, and one of the officials says, "Ah, Blackadder, good man. As you're heading off in there, we've brought a map for you." "Excellent," says Blackadder as he sort of takes this to you. And they just say, "Yes, fill it in as you go along, will you?" Because that's what he got. If we ask, what is it the disciples thought they were getting themselves into at that point? To be fair, that blank sheet of paper is all we have. But actually, it's the wrong question. It's not about the what. It's about the who. Who are they going to be following and what lies ahead? Not what are they going to be doing. Who are they going to be following? And in those two stories that we saw, the sense was Jesus simply said to them, "Follow me. Follow me." And the fishermen and Matthew stood up, or landed the boat, and simply went off and followed Jesus. They didn't know what it was that they were going to be doing. They didn't know what it was that they were going to be involved with. But they did know who they were going to be following. And so I guess the challenge or the question for us this morning is there for us. What new opportunities or new adventures may be lying ahead for us? For many of us, I know, in a sense, we answered that call. The fact, the reason that we're here is we answered God's call to come to Oney and be part of the fellowship here and to serve God in and around this part of the world. But I wonder whether there are small opportunities for some of us, maybe for a few of us, that bigger opportunity, that little sense of that prompting of what is it that God might be calling us into. It may be something that still requires us to, or wants us to stay here, but to take on a new challenge, a new opportunity in terms of serving God here in town. For one or two, it may be that prompting of saying, is there something big, is there something different that God may be wanting us to do? And we can be pretty clear, if we answer those things, about what it is, some of those things that may be caused to be giving up. And we may be fairly unclear about what it is that we're going into. But the question that we're actually asking ourselves is, Jesus, am I following you in what I'm doing? Now, for some, that might be a spontaneous call, as it was with those disciples, to say, yes, we want to stand up and follow you. For others, perhaps a little more thoughtful, let me just read a few verses from Luke chapter 14, where Jesus again is speaking. He says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and not able to finish it, everyone who sees us or sees it will ridicule you. saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. God isn't a reckless or a thoughtless God in that sense. God does love to challenge us and call us. For some, it might be that prompting of saying, what is it you're calling us to? And it's that answer of, yes, Jesus, I'm going to be following you. For others, we may want to be sitting down and working that through for a little while. But I'd encourage us this morning to be asking that question, as if we feel the prompting of God as a call on our lives to be taking up something new, be it small or something bigger. Don't worry about the what it is we're called to, but be anxious about who it is that we're responding to. And we're going to hear a little bit from someone who did answer, or has answered, or is answering that call. And Stuart, if you want to come forward again. And Stuart's going to just be taking us forward to the next little interview. Stuart.
Thank you very much, Simon, for that. Yes, we've heard this morning about the disciples and how they have heard and responded to the call of God. And as you know, as a church, we have a rich missionary tradition. One of our famous forebears, William Carey, he was a member of this church. I can so hardly believe actually that that is true, that I'm in a church where that was the case, but that's part of our history. We know that. And he responded to God's call to go off and do mission work in his day and generation. And we're very privileged this morning to have Una, who we all know, and from time to time, she steps out of her comfort zone and she goes to work on the Mercy Ships. And I'm going to ask Una to come and just to talk with us a little bit about that before she goes off for her next exciting adventure. And I thought I'd begin with a nice, easy question, Una. Not everybody knows maybe what you've been doing. You've obviously shared something with me, but others perhaps who are new to the church don't know. So my first question would be, I'll give you that as well. Thank you, Simon. My first question would be, can you tell us something about Mercy Ships? Who are they and what do they do?
Mercy Ships was started in 1978 by a gentleman called John Stevens.
Let's see that.
I'll give it to Michael, he'll sort me out. Go on, you keep talking, we'll be
I use that, use the pencil, mate.
We're good. No, we're good, there you go.
Oh. We're good. Sort of. I felt safer behind there. Right, Mercy Ships was started in 1978 by a gentleman called Don Stevens to provide healthcare and improve healthcare delivery systems in the poorest of nations. It is an international charity that operates the largest non-governmental hospital ships in the world. It provides community development projects, community health education, mental health programs, agricultural projects and a palliative care and healthcare. Mercy Ships puts faith in action, bringing hope and healing. Their floating hospital, as soon to be hospitals, restores people's dignity with free surgery and life-changing medical treatment.
Okay, right. Well, this kind of follows on a little bit from some of the comments that Simon was making. I know that you're a busy lady working full-time in the NHS, in nursing, and that's a full-time vocation in itself. And many of us might think, well, I've come back from a long, hard day's work. I'm going to put my feet up and have a rest. I think I've earned it. But no, that's not Una. Una decides she's going to go off and do even more work on Mercy Ships. So my question really would be this. What prompted you to get involved with Mercy Ships when many of us might be thinking it's time to take it easy?
I was involved in an internal inquiry during my time as a community nurse. It was an extremely stressful 18 months. That ended with no case to answer. During that time, one of the senior management suggested I focus my sabbatical when it was all over. I was advised by, actually Ian, our previous minister, of a charity website. That day in the state I was in, I only saw and focused on Mercy Ships. I prayed and asked God to guide me. If there was a job that would fit my skills and dates, I could go and apply. No surprise, it all fitted together. I was pleased to be accepted to go to Togo in West Africa in 2012. This would be my 9th time on the ship of the African Mercy that I continue to work for.
Okay, well that's really very good to know that, and a bit of background is always very helpful. This is not the first time you've done this, you've done it several times in the past. And as you sort of look back and reflect on your previous stints of service with Mercy Ships, what would you say was thus far your most memorable standout moment that you have from working on Mercy Ships?
I had to really think hard about this because there's been so many. But one that really touched my heart, which I hope I'm going to get through without breaking up, because it's very significant to this church and this community. I had looked after a young girl for a lengthy period. On the day of her final discharge, I was asked if I would like to take her onto the dock to say goodbye. Her mother was there as well. We had formed a close bond during this time. They wanted to give me a parting gift. These are people who have very few material possessions, but both had voices like angels. And spontaneously, they sang Amazing Grace to me. Something I shall never forget. And by the way, they had no idea that where we lived and what my church community was, as you can see, it still touches me. Anyway, yeah, it was a very happy moment.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just one of these lovely moments, doesn't it, that happens in life and we get blessed by these things. Just one final question, and then we're going to watch a little, very short YouTube clip that will give you a little bit more insight into what Una's going to be doing. But my last question was, can you tell us something, what you're going to be doing, as far as you know, and how we can pray for you when you're away?
I'll be carrying out the post-operative wound care in the tent on the dockside for 9 weeks. We pray for each patient as they leave, and for each patient as they start their surgery. It always amazes me how patients of different religions are so pleased to be prayed for. But this time, obviously, going onto the ship will be extremely different. We have a very high COVID situation on the ship at the moment. It's actually in what's called red alert. There has been a lot of staff have come down with COVID, but not one patient. And that's down to the very, very strict protocols. Not only the people who have COVID are isolating, but also anybody that's been round about them for up to 7 days. So at this point in time, I'm going to be wound care nurse on the dockside. I could be scrubbing floors and I could be cooking the dinner. But it's obviously, they very graciously phoned me last week and asked me if I still wanted to come. And of course I said yes. So really, it's what God wants me to do in the next few weeks. Really just to pray for the fact that the situation on the ship, that again, no patients till the end of the outreach in November shall get COVID, and that when those that do have it, that they will become well very quickly, and that all the patients that we care for during this period can be healed, so that when we leave in November and depart for the end of this particular outreach, that there will be no unhealed patients, because obviously that will be a risk for them going out into the community. And just one little thing I was going to say, is that okay? Next year, I hope to go on the brand new ship, the Global Mercy, which I had the privilege of being on in Antwerp in March. It goes to Senegal in early 2023. And this will also be a brand new venture for Mercy Ships. This is not just a ship that has been changed into a hospital ship. This is a state-of-the-art 11-deck hospital ship. And the amazing thing is, this has cost billions, and every penny of it has already been paid before she sets sail in January. And lastly, I'd like just to thank the church and the church family for donating money towards my time in Senegal. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Well, let's just pray for you before you. I'll put this off before you go. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you raise up, Lord, ordinary Christian people, Lord, like us, to do extraordinary things for an extraordinary Saviour. We thank you, Lord, for that, and we thank you that, Lord, we have had the privilege of being able to hear a little of Una's own testimony to your work in her life. We thank you, Lord, for the skills professionally and of life experience with which you have blessed her, and that, Lord, she is so freely and willingly offering to share, Lord, with those who need to receive these things. We pray for her as she goes to the ship. We pray, Lord, for health and strength, Lord, of mind and of body, that you would give to her all that she needs to face the challenges that she will,
We pray that when she returns, that she will have many encouraging stories to tell, Lord, of how you have been working, Lord, through her and others to bring your healing and the light and love of Christ, Lord, into perhaps dark corners of the world and into lives that need to know the transforming power of your gospel. So, Lord, we pray for our sister this morning. We lovingly commit her to you and ask for your blessing upon her now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I should say, I'm sure Una would be delighted to get emails and WhatsApps. I'm sure she can do that from the boat. And if you want to just drop her a line and say, how are you getting on? I'm sure she'll be more than happy to respond to that. I'm going to hand back to Simon, who's behind me. There you
go. Seeing a short video. Do keep your eyes open for somebody who might be auditioning for the next version of Strictly Come Dancing. A familiar face.
Mercy Ships is a unique organisation because it is bringing services to countries that would otherwise never be able to access those services. It gives us the flexibility to bring first world healthcare to the developing world.
The diseases and medical conditions we encounter are the diseases of poverty, abject poverty. Much of what we address would not be there if it weren't for the level of poverty in these nations.
The millions of people who either physically or financially do not have access to health care are staggering. People say to me, well, there's all these millions. How do you think you can change that? We can change the individuals one life at a time.
That need help, you realize that they have no way of getting help, and I want them to know that they're loved.
Love is a language that doesn't need words all the time. You can show compassion and care for them.
We are volunteers, and I think that's part of what makes it beautiful. The people come here with just a heart to serve and a heart to make a difference, and so that makes it a great environment.
See a bit more? Yeah.
After the rejection and the ridicule and the hard lives that they've had up until this point, then to have a ward full of nurses and the other ship staff, people just pour out so much love on them. Love does make a difference.
Every single patient that comes in here does come away with not only physical healing but also emotional and spiritual healing as well.
What happens in their hearts is really what changes them, and that's what I think empowers them to go home and be people and to get jobs and to go to school and to believe in themselves.
This is really the setting that Mercy Ships fits into.
Bringing this hospital ship in, it's a state-of-the-art platform. Surgeons, nurses, professionals from all over the world offering this free of charge at the highest standards is unique.
We're working hard here to leave a legacy of improved healthcare.
We can stand in the gap while we encourage the development of the healthcare systems in the nations in which we serve.
Mercy gets very much the concept of training. We're always trying to do ourselves out of a job. That's perfect, really, because, you know, they've got the skills and they kind of get the program. That's kind of the aim, really.
We want the day to come when all the nations on earth are able to care for their people, and we have a long ways to go, especially as we're serving in some of the poorest nations in the world.
We're going to pause now for a moment of reflection, thinking about some of the things we've been considering this morning, thinking about the kind of themes of having a new start, of following Jesus, and of considering where we might be being led to do something new or something different. So I just encourage you to take a few moments to kind of sit quietly and think and kind of wait on the Lord and see if there's anything that he wants to put on your heart, if there's something new or changing in your life, some kind of new situation, or if God's kind of putting something on you to seek out some kind of new change, something different in your, you know, in your work life, in your home life, in the community, in church. If there's something different in your family situation, some new opportunity that's presenting itself. So I'm going to play a song called This Is My Desire. Again, I'm not sure, it might be new to you or not, but if you just want to sit and listen, if you want to join in, we'll play it a few times through. But just encourage you to sit and pray and think about what God might be trying to say to you this morning. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
And if anything occurs to you, or you want to talk or pray with anyone after the service, then please do seek someone out. Come on in. Welcome back. Come on up to the front. Jenny, I think I've got the red light on the microphone. Come around the front of the table. Well, shuffle up, Thomas, because there's a few more of you to keep going towards Michael. Brilliant. Yeah, shuffle along. There we go. Jenny, can I give you that? And come and tell us what they've been up to.
Well, as you can see, we've been very busy. We took your inspiration from the little video that you showed us. So if you all want to see if we can do it all together, if you can all hold them up for everyone to see and move your little lolly stick, we've made our own little lakes and we've got the disciples in the boat and they're coming over to Jesus who's standing at the side because Jesus said to follow me. So we've been really busy out the back.
They've done brilliant. I think they deserve a round of applause. They've done brilliant. Brilliant. Did you get a question about what following me might look like?
We have, and as long as they don't get stage fright, our bigger ones over here have decided they're going to answer some, and then we might see if the others want to. Can you tell everyone some of the things that we were talking about when we were talking about how we can follow Jesus?
We can follow Jesus by being kind. We can do what Jesus wants us to do.
Yeah. What about on this side? Can you remember some of the things we said? No, that's all right. Well, I'll tell you some of the things.
But we're not
going to say. Oh, yeah, they're keeping us on our toes. Some of the things they said as well, we were saying that actually one of the most important is loving, and actually they discussed how actually to love people can be everything. It can be helping people, it can be showing kindness, it can be making people feel happy when they feel sad. So we did discuss a bit more.
And you want to say something else?
Yeah, well, we thought it's lovely that you've got to see everything that we've done this morning. And actually, over the summer, we've been working on a display out the back. So if any of you are out in the Gravette Hall or the back hall at any point, you can have a little look up on the board we've worked on. And each Sunday in the summer, sometimes some people have been here, some of those have been on holiday. We've had some cousins and friends visiting, and they've helped out sometimes. And we've been adding to our board out the back because we thought it'd be lovely for you to be able to see some of the things we get up to. And on that note, if anyone would like to be a helper in the Sunday Club at any point, we just feel it's something so important and so nice within the church family to be able to be involved and see what we get up to. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, everyone. You can all go back to your places, except Thomas, I've got a little job for you, if that's okay. If you just head down towards the sound desk, sorry, give that to your mum for a moment. I think you might just find a fishing net. Can you just go and grab me the fishing net? And I'll just wait for Thomas to bring that back. Oh, Thomas, look like you've been fishing and you've been successful. Yeah, careful you don't, yes. Oh, well done for not hitting anyone on the way through. Whoa, we've caught three fish. Let's have a look. We've got a fish that says thank you. We've got a fish that says sorry. And we've got a fish that says please. So that's a little helpful for our time of prayer, which is going to just pop up next, Thomas. It's great. So for our times of thank you, I want you to think back to earlier in the service when we were just talking about those highlights of the summer and what we'd really enjoyed, what we were really thankful for. And the way that we're going to say thank you... Oh, there's no thank you PowerPoint. Okay. If we're going to say thank you is... in a moment, sorry, that comes in a moment. So we're going to say thank you by just saying out loud to God the things that we're going to be thankful for. So after three, we're going to say, thank you, Lord, and then God will hear all our voices all at once. So let's just go for it. Lord, thank you for the wonderful summer and the great chance to be with family and friends and time away. Lord, we just give you praise for all those good things. Amen. That was our thank you prayer. Our sorry prayer. We're going to say together the words that are often used when we do think about saying repenting for our sins. So for sorry, let's say together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our fellow men in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. So we said thank you. we've said sorry. And for please, I'm just going to lead us in a time of prayer for a few things that will be on our hearts. Let's pray together. Father God, as we meet together this morning, we're aware of so much going on in the world. And Lord, we do continue to raise up the situation in Ukraine and the war and all that is going on there. And Lord, we pray that you would intervene and bring peace and resolution there. And Lord, for Pakistan that we've seen on the news, just the awful floods and the devastation that's being wrecked there. And Lord, we pray for the aid agencies and all those that are involved in trying to rescue and bring safety to those that are in that nation. And Lord, we think of our own country. Lord, we are aware we have a new prime minister coming in this week. And so we would pray for them. And that they would follow you and listen to your wisdom in guidance in the decisions that they make. And Lord, for all of us as a nation, as we're finding some really tough economic times, Lord, we particularly pray for those who are really affected and impacted by the energy costs and other drains on their finances. And Lord, we're thankful for those that are working hard to provide for them. But we pray that you would just help us to be wise and to offer help. And Lord, that you would be practically with those in real need. And Lord, in a time of quiet, we just bring before you our own cares and concerns of those known and loved by us. So Lord, we just say thank you that you're a God who loves to listen to us and speak with us, and a God who delights in answering prayer. And we offer these thoughts to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish with our final hymn, which once I've got my glasses on, I'll be able to tell you what it is. It's All I Once Held Dear. Let's stand and sing. Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.